This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Great time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast 49-year-old Elizabeth Johnson of Elyria, Ohio. I may have said that wrong, but deep down, I don't care. Now, we don't know why she was pulled over, but she was, in fact, pulled over. The officer ordered her out of the car, but Elizabeth locked the doors and refused to come out. Well, eventually, the other officer convinced her to get out of the car, but she immediately started yelling, and she was being uncooperative. In fact, she told the officers that she had nothing illegal on her, not that they asked. And then she screamed, quote, "Fine, you want to see what I have?" And that's when she lifted her shirt and her bra and exposed her massive breasts to the officers. Unfortunately for Elizabeth, her crack pipe also fell out of her bra, along with her boobs, and she was arrested on drug-related and other charges. I'm going to tell you right now, I saw a picture of this woman. Those cops didn't deserve to see that, man.
Oh, no.
I mean, look, and as a dude, any time that we get the chance to see boobs like we want to, when I saw her mugshot, I was like, dear God, man. She had... Lord have mercy, you don't want to see that. It was that bad, seriously. But anyway, yeah, turns out she put a crack pipe in a bra. Did not think about that when she lifted her bra up, and there was a crack pipe.
How much stuff do women put in their bra other than money? I've only heard of bra money.
There was the woman, we called her Mount Rushmore, the old building, who put her...
She had a lighter in her bra.
Well, the one, I couldn't find my lighter. I asked her for a light. I did not realize that she put it in her bra. And she's dressed like a businesswoman, right? I mean, just reaches her hand in the front, pulls her lighter out. You can see boob sweat on it. Normally, I would take your lighter, so I just kind of purse my lips and let her light my cigarette for me. Like, I'm not touching that. Yeah. Beautiful woman, beautiful. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch hola!
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Steve Throw Hill, please tell everyone how Profile This is played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Vaughn. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, what's going on?
Hola! All right, Byron, you understand how this year game is played.
It'll help. I believe so.
All right, well, here's the deal. You got your choice of one of three categories, okay? One category is bite me. In other words, what did somebody find in their food? Another category is hit me with your best shot, where you guess the unconventional weapon that someone chose to use as a weapon. And finally today, animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Ooh. Okay.
So pick one? Yeah, pick one.
Let's do hit me with your best shot.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
All right, I'm going to share the story with you. And then at the end, you're going to have your choice of one of four options that you think was the weapon used in this case, all right? So the story goes like this. There was an argument early on a Saturday morning when Dr. Esha Persad, 34-year-old dentist, she was getting her husband Taco Bell and McDonald's for his birthday.
Nice.
Now, during the 12:20 a.m. squabble, Persad allegedly threw food at him and hit him. Now, they say the delicacy struck the man on the right side of his face. So when the police responded to the couple's St. Petersburg residence, the food was still on the victim's face. Now, the victim, who's been married to Prasad for 5 years, said he was not injured by the menu item. But after being read her rights, Prasad reportedly said she threw the food at the victim after he threw a bag at her, which is a claim that her husband denied. Well, she was arrested for domestic battery, which is a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. She was later released. Now, the question is, what food did she throw at her husband? And keep in mind, she picked up both Taco Bell and McDonald's for his birthday. I'm sure he's a slim, beautiful man.
But you said
man.
It was 1:58 in the morning, right?
It was 12:20 a.m.
All right.
Was it a soft-shell taco? Was it a Big Mac? Was it a cheesy street chalupa? Or a large fries? So soft-shell taco, Big Mac, a chalupa, or a large fries?
Give me Big Mac.
Going Big Mac?
Big Mac for Vaughn.
I like soft-shell taco, Tim.
Soft-shell.
Or the soft taco supreme, to be honest.
Delicious. But soft taco was the option. I don't see any of that sticking to his face. It's got to be that cheesy chalupa.
A cheesy street chalupa, Ted. Put some respect on it.
So I feel like there's actual like nacho cheese sauce in that, which could still be on his face.
All right. Okay.
Guy should have opened his mouth.
What was thrown in his face? A soft shell taco, Big Mac, chalupa, or large fries? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Categories, hit me with your best shot on profile. Let's get a dentist. And she was probably, I guess, coming home from work, or I don't know what the hell she was doing, but either way, she was getting her husband some food for his birthday.
Yeah.
So not only was she going to get a Taco Bell, she's going to swing by McDonald's for him. Either way, they got into some kind of altercation. So she threw food at her husband's face, and she was successful. Question is, was it a soft shell taco, a Big Mac, a cheesy chalupa?
Cheesy street chalupa.
Well, that's one of those. Large order of fries.
One of the tough ones.
Yeah. And, Vaughn, that's the very question that we posed to you. Let us start with you, Ted Smith.
Oh, come on.
Hey, man, you went with the cheesy street chalupa, and, like, your spidey senses made sense. There was still evidence of the food on his face, obviously.
Yeah.
But whoops, sorry, wrong sound effect. Still not good.
Yeah. Damn, I thought that was foolproof.
Not the cheesy street chalupa. Vaughn, you went with the old Big Mac, which makes sense to say it's a McDonald's product. You know it's there. You know she got him a Big Mac. However, did not hit him with a Big Mac. No. I'm sure she ate that for herself. And Miles, you went with the old soft shell taco.
I did.
And yay! You're correct. You know how to assault someone with food, my friend.
That's right. The cheesy street chalupa. Ted, to clarify the chalupa again, is that the hard shell with maybe cheese in between the soft shell they wrap around it? Is that a chalupa?
No, the chalupa is like a deep fried shell.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's like thicker, too.
Okay, so we're outside, and so I was laughing at the name cheesy street chalupa, and I said, dude, what exactly is a chalupa? Like, I know the name.
Because when they came out years ago, that was massive. I feel like it's like a hard shell's fried, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
But the chalupa is somewhere, you know, to me, it almost is like a pita bread thicker.
Let's take a look at this.
But it's definitely fried.
It might be a flour shell that's fried.
What it is.
All right.
Is it that simple?
It might be.
Yeah. But it was like a big deal years ago when they came out with them. Now they're just on the menu.
I mean, it looks good. It's a freaking taco.
I like that cheesy one from the street.
Cheesy street.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Obviously, I haven't been doing jokes as much because everybody, basically, Jimmy Fallon had to take time off because the Olympics were going on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then you notice other people took some time off, too. So this is a lot of
time.
I credit to those late night guys. I do respect that. Like,
they try to coordinate.
I don't know if they coordinate. It just seems like if one of them takes off, then they're like, all right, we're all going to take. I mean, obviously, we know a little more how TV ratings work.
Sure.
So there's always certain weeks you can count on that they'll all be off.
And they're not going to compete against the Olympics, being that it's basically a 24-hour run.
Right, and summertime is also not as important as fall and the spring.
Yep.
So that's why in the summertime, like, America's Got Talent almost always is going to be the number one show because it's the only thing really showing new episodes in the summertime.
I get sucked into that show.
Also, I like Kimmel. Hey, man, Jeff Goldblum. Come on in.
Yeah, oh, he's yeah, a guest host,
whoever you are. You know,
right, and it's pretty good. And a lot of people, because Kimmel, just like, look, I'm taking the whole summer off. You guys can do some shows or whatever. So everybody's been off, but John Oliver did a good thing, too. He just put together, he's pretty good about putting together these just kind of smash cuts of just local news reporters who are now sad the Olympics are over.
And just like that, the Olympics are almost over.
I know. What am I going to do with all my time now that the Olympics are over?
I'm going to go back to Taylor Swift.
I guess I'll have to.
And now I got nothing to watch.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to do with all this time. And it's just one of those things that kind of unites everybody.
Exactly.
You know, for
yeah.
temporarily.
Yeah.
Now we can go back to hating each other. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of sad the Olympics are over. It was so much fun.
Yeah, there were some personal benefits to the Olympics, like we didn't have a 30-minute news program for two straight weeks.
I miss the Olympics.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
And I'll be back in 4 years, Ron, in L.A. Time now.
Hopefully I'll be back in 4 years.
27.
Those last two are spot on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, we didn't have to do that last 30-second or 30-minute broadcast, and I hope I'm still here in 4 years.
Yeah, that was a pretty good spot on.
The Olympics were a ton of fun, though. I ended up watching a bunch of them. Did anybody watch the closing ceremonies?
No.
Yes, because we were in Delaware, and everyone was watching it. I'm not big on that, but yeah, I watched it and saw Tom Cruise, and I just thought, dear God.
Yeah, I mean, I was waiting for a buddy at a casino, so I went up to the sports book. It's like a Sunday, and they're on.
Yeah.
But like, I don't, you know, it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. You're getting a couple afternoon brewskis in, and I'm like, this gold guy's amazing. Like one guy in gold dancing. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. And then randomly, I was in a bar, and there was a gentleman who just on looks, just the way he looked, I wouldn't think I'd get into this conversation with him. And we, you know, had a couple beers, and he's like, "Did you see those closing ceremonies?" And I was like, in my head, I'm like, "Here we go. What's he gonna say?" And he's like, "They were goddamn artistic. Those gymnasts are unreal." And I was like, yeah, I agree 100% with you. I thought they were great. So I thought it was pretty cool. And you're right, Tom Cruise came out, did a crazy stunt.
Jesus.
Well, look, man, you got to remember.
That you think Paris, France. You think Tom Cruise crazy stunt.
But I give him credit, man. Tom Cruise is Tom. He did exactly what you
And that's
you would
his only vice.
Do. Yeah.
He's an adrenaline junkie, this and that. I mean, you guys were talking about the Brat Pack earlier.
Yeah.
And you can argue on who's in it and who's not, but I was reading an article, I forget who it was with, and they were just like, yeah, everybody's pretty chill. They're like, you know, worked hard, but they're like, Tom Cruise has been like this
forever.
Since he was, you know, 21, 22. A very hard-driven guy, this and that.
Sure. I mean, he is that.
Yeah. And I think the ceremonies, usually you get it. You're right, Miles, it was in Paris, but like, he's Tom Cruise.
And you're passing the torch to L.A.
Yeah. And outside of, I mean, Tom Cruise is one of those people. I mean, he's got to be on the same, I don't know if he's same level, but he's up there, I'd say, with like a Jordan, LeBron, or some, you know, musical acts where like wherever you go in the world, they're going to know who Tom Cruise is.
Also, you saw the people that were there when he was in Paris. Like, so he did his little thing that he's going to do, but as he kind of walked to the crowd, it's volunteers or whatever, like, you could see the true excitement on their face. Mm-hmm. The little teeny tiny Tom Cruise is there. I mean, and I'm like, all right, man.
I'd almost rather see nothing against breaking or breakdancing, but I'd almost rather see stuntmen or daredevil.
That would be cool.
Okay, so the record is 18 tractor trailers. He's going for 19.
Yeah.
Well, breaking's already out. And that, obviously, everybody saw the jokes with the Ray Gun lady from Australia. I don't know if you've looked into this. This is turning into like a serious story now.
Okay.
Because now there's accusations that like people that are other competitive break dancers in Australia didn't have a fair shot at it. Did they kind of rig it so that she could get in and this and that? So it went from kind of like this woman shouldn't be in the Olympics to kind of funny. And like, I don't know where I stand on it. So it's like, I don't want to ridicule the woman all the time, but obviously she, when you talk about levels of breakdancing, because there is breakdancing championship, like world championships,
oh, yeah,
every year, right? Like, she just looked way out of her element. I did see over the weekend a girl in the UFC who won. It was in Australia. She's Australian. So her victory dance was kind of mocking that, her dancing. Okay. But it's just a wild thing now. Like, all right, breaking's already out of the 2028 games. Like, do we have to do an investigation? Like, did they rig
it? If you won the gold medal, it's a one of a kind.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But also, like, that lady was in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? No.
So there wasn't male
and
female.
And Sam brings you back to Earth. Oh, you beat her. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, yeah. I mean, I just feel like that's me playing U-12 football, and it's like, I had another 150 yards today. It's like, well, who the F's going to tackle you, Ted? Let's see. Mike, I doubt you'll know this name very well. You guys remember Phil Donahue?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course. He's one of the pioneering daytime talk show hosts.
Absolutely.
He passed away. He was 88. I was going to say, he was, he basically almost kind of created the genre that we know, that you get Oprah, you get Montel Williams out of, you get Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, he's pretty, to me, and look, there were people that did it before him, but he seemed to get the sauce right.
You know what? I don't remember one before him, at least in my lifetime. I'm sure there were.
There were, but he was the first guy.
He was like the stalwart of it.
Right, who absolutely, like, the first guy that I can remember that got syndicated nationwide, and he was someone that people talked about.
Yeah, he was before Oprah, then Oprah came in, and she dominated that world.
Well, he was the first one. Miles, you're both kind of right, but you're right. Like, you know what I mean? Even if you watch Kelly Clarkson now, she's good. Somebody's going to sing a song or this and that.
Yeah.
Like, just one guest per show, no band. He said people always asked him in 19, and he wrote in his memoir, and he was like, yeah, no. Later, the show got named Donahue, not the Phil Donahue Show. And basically, he would bring on people that other people would never have on a show, right? Like, his first episode, he had on an atheist, which, you got to remember, in late 70s, that's a massive deal.
Oh, absolutely.
He aired shows on feminism, homosexuality, consumer protection, civil rights, bunch of other stuff. The show was syndicated in 1970, ran on national television 26 years, 20 Emmy Awards for Donahue as host. I will say this, they also took phone calls, right? Like a radio talk show does. So he got kind of famous for saying it's a caller there. The thing I will remember him most famously for, and I don't know if he did it all the time or not, but it was just one of those things, Mike. He wore glasses and used to be able to tell how he felt about a guest because he would adjust them with his middle finger and like push them back up to his face. Now, maybe he always used his middle finger, but I saw something once and it just seems specifically there were certain times where he's like, enough of this guy.
Yeah.
He also looked 88 then.
He always had gray hair.
He always looked the same. Like, he's never been, you know, anything more than what I know him to be.
Yeah, he always did kind of have that gray, white hair or whatever.
But he would also run up and down the steps to get people's opinions and the audience. And, you know, he was somewhat energetic at times.
Well, and he did a good job, too, of, like, when you watched his show, of, like, you could tell he's into the topic. But I don't know which side he's picking.
No.
You know what I mean?
He didn't pick side, but he was well-researched.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. He was well-researched about each guest, and that's what was nice. You have one guest, you did your research. Well, I'm sure his people did the research, but he absorbed it. He knew the right questions to ask, right? And really set the stage, like you said, to talk to people that otherwise just got marginalized or blown away or you don't want to hear from them.
Right, and I think, you know, especially like my generation and under, you're just used to Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
But people got to remember is that, like, Donahue was the first one, really set that tone. And most of those talk shows were all very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Springer just kind of got into this thing where they'd have some crazy guests or strippers that were going to fight each other or thrills, you know, banging Miles' cousin or his wife or something. You know, just...
Cool, thank you.
Once he... Oh, I know. As I said, I'm like...
Keep it in the family. Yeah. That's what I said.
But basically... Yeah, Springer ends up just going full into that, which really changed daytime TV again. Because then there was other shows that tried to copycat him.
Like Morton Downey and all those guys.
Yeah, Morton Downey, though, was on it. Wasn't he on at night?
He was on at night.
I always remember him. But I'm just saying, like, Donahue to me, like, Jerry, it was all pretty straight ahead, like, actual topics. And then after Jerry Springer, it's like, we just want to see TNA and fights.
Yeah, and they're not wrong.
Which, again, I know. I don't, yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, like, do you know about ring card girls? Like, I don't know. You ever been to a live fight? Like, yeah. Did you not enjoy looking at the ring card girls? Like, they go hand in hand.
That is specifically why they're there.
Yeah.
For you to enjoy looking at them.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially rough and rowdy.
There's a little on the edge, too. All right. Now, Mike recommended this show. Oh, Christ. A year ago?
A while back, yeah.
It was definitely months ago. We had not watched. I had not watched it. Mike had watched it, said it was hilarious. I enjoyed the movies. So, Ted.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime. Peacock. Jesus. What was it? Right. There was some big sporting event this year where they kept pimping it. We went to a Rainiers game last week, and then I spent the night at Mike's, and we got up the next morning. We started watching a couple of these episodes. It is awesome.
Is it?
If you like Ted the movie, those are good.
Is that Seth MacFarlane?
Yes.
Yes. It is. But it's basically Ted is, like, younger, and, Mark Wahlberg's character is still in high school.
Okay.
But the same, I don't know how to explain it. It's just off-the-wall stuff. The dad was in Vietnam, and, like, I just got to the episode where he explains why he doesn't want to talk about Vietnam, and you're just, like, audibly, like, Mike and I are sitting there literally just drinking coffee, watching our buddy sleep in, and we're just dying laughing. There was always a couple spit takes. So I'm like, it's that good.
I would say this is one of the rare cases where at least it's in the conversation that the show is better than the movies that it's based on.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's at least up for debate.
Like, I can't wait to go home. I got a couple episodes left and watch some more of that series.
Yes.
But if you said, do you want to come over and watch the movie Ted? I don't know that I would say yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Miles, I think you'll like it. It is beyond raunchy and filthy. All right?
That's not my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Right? All those little jokes you like and stuff.
And there are some things that were acceptable in the 90s that are coming back.
Always finish on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff in there where you can, I'm just like, holy S, I can't believe they're actually doing that. I would also just remind people after the weekend, it's preseason, folks. No reason to get too upset or too high or
unless you're a Raiders fan.
Well, yeah. Sorry, Washington Cougs fans. Gardner Minshew is not a starting quarterback in this league.
Oh, and but he is.
It's going to be one of those old takes exposed. I think the man has a spot in the league. It's not as a starter. That was rough watching that. But like I said, it's good to still just see some football on.
Yeah,
this and that. Seahawks. They did some things well. Some things not. It's also hard to tell as you're not playing all the starters against starters. And this, you know, and also remember that in week, you know, 1, 2, and 3, because there'll be some wild stuff. Remember, Seahawks beat Detroit last year. Detroit basically fourth down themselves out of going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yep. They sure did.
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A Colorado mall is evacuated because of delicious milk. Meanwhile, a 94-year-old daredevil is still getting after it and smooth as silk. Illinois neighborhood has a wild donkey invasion. A couple charges friends for their wedding celebration. And a South Carolina man pulls a gun while trying to return candy. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, on top story, we're going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where we find out why you'd hold up a candy store. Employees called authorities to report that a man had come into the store and attempted to return some candy that he had previously purchased. The report goes that after he was reminded that the store did not accept refunds and actually made this detail well known in the checkout process, the man pulled a gun on employees in full view of other customers, including children, and threatened to shoot the employee. Officers reviewed surveillance footage, which corroborated the account by employees, and tracked down the armed man. A subsequent search of his car during his arrest turned up weed and cocaine in his possession, adding to the charges that he will answer for.
So again, you pulled a gun on somebody making $11 an hour at a candy store because he couldn't return the candy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Are you doing okay, buddy?
No, you're not. You're not doing okay.
Right.
Gets a gun pulled on him at a candy store.
At a candy shop.
At a candy store.
And how much money are you getting back? How much money did you spend on this candy?
Yeah, how much money did you spend on candy, bro?
Right, now, granted, you can spend some cash at a candy shop.
Spend as much as you want.
But not enough to pull a gun on by any stretch of the imagination. You know,
man, I gotta pay my rent. I need this refund. Like, Three Musketeers.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Good God.
In other news, we go to New York where a newlywed couple attempted to save themselves some money. It's not lost on anybody that weddings are an expensive event, costing couples thousands of dollars to put on an exciting and prestigious day, which is why some couples do their best to recoup costs in one way or another. Our couple in New York is one such duo that decided that they would poster their wedding in comparison to a concert-style event and were selling tickets for attendance. While they did get a good turnout for their wedding, they did get some pushback, with some invited parties responding with, quote, "I would never spend money on tickets. I don't care. and Who Do You Think You Guys Are, Jay-Z and Beyonce. All because they didn't want to spend the low ticket price of $333 apiece.
That's so ridiculous.
Apparently, the tickets did include the seat on the double-decker bus for the wedding and a 12-hour adventure in New York, which,
ugh,
there's a little bit of kickback there, but, man,
but if you want to plan all of that for your wedding, that is your business. But,
right.
But you don't charge people to be a part of it. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Especially, look, newsflash, too. Right? Again, I've been in 23 weddings. I've been to more weddings than most people ever go to in a lifetime.
Yes.
Most people attending weddings only are there, like, they'll do the wedding and reception, but they don't need events all around it.
Yeah.
There's a chance they're in a city they've never been to. They might want to check something out. Or, hey, I mean, sometimes I got a couple cousins I really like. I just want to go get a beer with them. I don't need an event.
No. Right.
12-hour bus, like, oh, that sounds awful.
And mm-hmm. How many of them are there out of obligation?
Yeah.
You know, I love my family. But there are some people in my family that, oh, we're getting married. Like, okay.
And then I'm like, I'll go.
I'm going to hear it.
33 button new.
Right. I'm going to hear it at the holidays if I don't show up to your wedding.
Right. There are those.
But you put on the $333 price tag on
top. Kiss my aisle.
Exactly. Yeah. Because chances are better than even. I might even be traveling to go see you.
Right.
Right. I don't. No. No, no, no.
That's so ridiculous. I actually like these people.
Right.
Like, you are so oblivious to common sense. Like, hey, you keep doing that.
Exactly.
I hope it works for you.
And they actually said that they made quite a bit of their money. You know, they said we saved ourselves 70 grand, which I think what that is, because they were saying that there's a rise in quote-unquote brunch weddings. So I think what they did is they kind of forewent the venue, the catering, DJ, and all that. I think they just said, we're just going to rent a party bus, maybe get the priest out there to marry us, whatever it is. And then we're just going to go, the reception is us touring bars in New York. You'll be responsible for your own tab, most likely.
That's okay, but what I would say is this. If you get divorced, I want my money back.
Not bad.
Does that include, you know, no gift?
Right.
I mean, if it
depends. The gift was the fact that you didn't have to pay for your wedding.
Right. Yeah. Seriously, I'm not looking at your registry.
Right.
That was it.
Right. $333
a person.
Piece.
That means if you take a date.
Right.
$660. Are you kidding me?
$666.
Exactly. No. No. That ain't happening. We go to Colorado, where disaster turned into annoyance. Authorities were called to the local mall after it was reported that a trio of juveniles wearing masks stood up on chairs in the food court, screamed incoherently, and witnessed to say they heard gunfire and went running. Officers evacuated the mall and began to search for victims, finding none, but instead finding milk jugs that the teenagers had slammed to the ground, making sounds that were mistaken for gunshots.
Mm.
Two of the three were tracked down and cited for making public disturbance. I'm glad that it turned to annoyance.
Right. We're glad that that is the case. But again, like, guys, come on, man. Right. I don't know if you're sensitive to the times going on. Not a good idea.
We all do stupid things when we're kids.
Sure.
Keep the level of stupid to a certain degree.
Right.
Yeah. Can we just not cross this line? Look, it's not an acceptable excuse, but it is an accepted excuse. Kids will be kids.
Kids will be kids, but don't do things that might get you shot.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you had done that, man, you know, on Diamond Mall in Baltimore, like, you would have gone down.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A Colorado mall is evacuated because of delicious milk. Meanwhile, a 94-year-old daredevil is still getting after it and smooth as silk. Illinois neighborhood has a wild donkey invasion. A couple charges friends for their wedding celebration. And a South Carolina man pulls a gun while trying to return candy. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
All right, top story. We're going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where we find out why you'd hold up a candy store. Employees called authorities to report that a man had come into the store and attempted to return some candy that he had previously purchased. The report goes that after he was reminded that the store did not accept refunds and actually made this detail well known in the checkout process, the man pulled a gun on employees in full view of other customers, including children, and threatened to shoot the employee. Officers reviewed surveillance footage, which corroborated the account by employees, and tracked down the armed man. A subsequent search of his car during his arrest turned up weed and cocaine in his possession, adding to the charges that he will answer for.
So again, you pulled a gun on somebody making $11 an hour at a candy store because he couldn't return the candy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Are you doing okay, buddy?
No, you're not. You're not doing okay.
Right.
gets a gun pulled on him at a candy store.
At a candy shop.
At a candy store.
And how much money are you getting back? How much money did you spend on this candy?
Yeah, how much money did you spend on candy, bro?
Right, now, granted, you can spend some cash at a candy shop.
Spend as much as you want.
But not enough to pull a gun on by any stretch of the imagination. You know,
man, I gotta pay my rent. I need this refund.
Like, Three Musketeers.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Good God.
In other news, we go to New York where a newlywed couple attempted to save themselves some money. It's not lost on anybody that weddings are an expensive event, costing couples thousands of dollars to put on an exciting and prestigious day, which is why some couples do their best to recoup costs in one way or another. Our couple in New York is one such duo that decided that they would poster their wedding in comparison to a concert-style event and were selling tickets for attendance. While they did get a good turnout for their wedding, they did get some pushback, with some invited parties responding with, quote, "I would never spend money on tickets. I don't care. And who do you think you guys are, Jay-Z and Beyonce?" All because they didn't want to spend the low ticket price of $333 a piece.
That's so ridiculous.
Apparently, the tickets did include the seat on the double-decker bus for the wedding and a 12-hour adventure in New York, which,
ugh,
there's a little bit of kickback there, but, man,
but if you want to plan all of that for your wedding, that is your business. But,
right.
But you don't charge people to be a part of it. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Look, newsflash, too. Right? Again, I've been in 23 weddings. I've been to more weddings than most people ever go to in a lifetime.
Yes.
Most people attending weddings only are there, like, they'll do the wedding and reception, but they don't need events all around it.
Yeah.
There's a chance they're in a city they've never been to. They might want to check something out. Or, hey, I mean, sometimes I got a couple cousins I really like. I just want to go get a beer with them. I don't need an event.
No. Right.
12-hour bus, like, oh, that sounds awful.
And mm-hmm. How many of them are there out of obligation?
Yeah.
You know, I love my family, but there are some people in my family that, oh, we're getting married. Like, oh, okay.
And then I'm like, I'll go.
I'm going to hear it.
33 button. No.
Right. I'm going to hear it at the holidays if I don't show up to your wedding.
Right. There are those.
But you put on the $333 price tag on
top. Kiss my aisle.
Exactly. Yeah. Because chances are better than even. I might even be traveling to go see you.
Right.
Right. I don't. No. No, no, no.
That's so ridiculous. I actually like these people.
Right.
Like, you are so oblivious to common sense. Like, hey, you keep doing that.
Exactly.
I hope it works for you.
And they actually said that they made quite a bit of their money. You know, they said we saved ourselves 70 grand, which I think what that is, because they were saying that there's a rise in quote-unquote brunch weddings. So I think what they did is they kind of forewent the venue, the catering, DJ, and all that. I think they just said, we're just going to rent a party bus, maybe get the priest out there to marry us, whatever it is. And then we're just going to go, the reception is us touring bars in New York. You'll be responsible for your own tab, most likely.
That's okay, but what I would say is this. If you get divorced, I want my money back.
Not bad.
Does that include, you know, no gift?
Right.
I mean, if it depending
the gift
on,
was the fact that you didn't have to pay for your wedding.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'm not looking at your registry.
Right.
That was it.
Right. $333
a person.
Piece.
That means if you take a date.
Right.
$660. Are you kidding me?
$666.
Exactly. No. No. That ain't happening. We go to Colorado, where disaster turned into annoyance. Authorities were called to the local mall after it was reported that a trio of juveniles wearing masks stood up on chairs in the food court, screamed incoherently, and witnessed to say they heard gunfire and went running. Officers evacuated the mall and began to search for victims, finding none, but instead finding milk jugs that the teenagers had slammed to the ground, making sounds that were mistaken for gunshots.
Mm.
Two of the three were tracked down and cited for making public disturbance. Yeah. I'm glad that it turned to annoyance.
Right. We're glad that that is the case. But again, like, guys, come on, man. Right. I don't know if you're sensitive to the times going on. Not a good idea.
We all do stupid things when we're kids.
Sure.
Keep the level of stupid to a certain degree.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we just not cross this line? Look, it's not an acceptable excuse, but it is an accepted excuse. Kids will be kids.
Kids will be kids, but don't do things that might get you shot.
Right.
I'm just thinking, if you had done that, man, you know, on Diamond Mall in Baltimore, like, you would have gone down in a hail of bullets. And the thing is, in the end, you're just doing a prank with milk jugs, but everyone's armed to the teeth, and they have no problem shooting you
right.
if they construe you as a threat.
When you're going to be dumb, be smart.
Yeah.
That's
be smart
all
about
ask,
being
dude.
Stupid.
Right. Let people just shake their heads and just decide that you're kids.
Let us just be disgusted.
And just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth,
thankfully, there's good news.
Over to the UK, where a good chunk of money was raised, a 94-year-old man joined forces with a 70-year-old woman who have both had the unfortunate similarity of having lost their partners in life, having both received end-of-life care at St. John's Hospice. Seeing how well they were they treated their loved ones in their final days, the pair sought to raise money to donate to the facility so they can continue to provide wonderful care for others. To get this done, they set up a crowdfunding page and sweetened the deal by becoming the oldest man to ride the world's fastest zip line, which is located in Wales and reaches up to 100 miles an hour.
I guess.
Did she do it too?
She did too. I believe so, yeah.
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't be shocked.
But I think if you're that old, are you still scared? I'm not, hey man, you might die. I'm 90. I am not sweating this.
I gotta tuck these things in every morning. I don't care.
Ricocheting off a tree branch.
This is why I wear tube socks.
Not on my feet.
Damn it. Men's Room Sports talking about the Seahawks. They played their second of three preseason games over the weekend against Tennessee. My personal opinion, I like the depth that our boys showed on Saturday. Sam Howell showed himself to be a fine quarterback.
Sam Howell looked good.
He looked great, dude. Kenny McIntosh had a heck of a game as our defense as a whole did as well. Although they did end up losing the game in the end, I think they showed some real synergy, and I'm excited to see what the regular season brings. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm stoked to see what this team does.
You got a good coach, man.
Yes, we do. And I'm so happy that Baltimore is pissed to have lost him. That was a great sign to me.
Yeah, it's like we say, if you want to get Mexican food and everyone in the restaurant's Mexican, like, that's the place to go.
That's the spot.
This is our guy. Like, damn it, man. Exactly. You want a good football coach, this guy is a good football coach.
The Seahawks wrap up the preseason here at home this weekend, hosting the Cleveland Browns on Saturday at 7 p.m. The Mariners did what the Mariners do and dropped the series over the weekend against the Pirates, taking their second-place woes to a full four games back. Mm. They'll look to recover some ground on Houston as we go into the series against the Dodgers tonight in L.A.
Dude.
That game at 7:10 over en route with Brian Wu taking the mound.
My brother and sister live in Pittsburgh. I've been to a Steeler game before, but watching those games at that park, I've got to get there and go to that ballpark.
Yes, you do.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
We should go, man.
Yeah.
As far as your weather, we got some cloud cover moving in. Forecast calls for some light winds tonight as temperatures cool down to a brisk 61. That moves us into tomorrow, where we can expect morning showers and a cloudy afternoon with a high of 70. And you know what? With those gray skies coming in, you might feel the need to crack a cold one tonight. And might I recommend some delicious Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing Company? Known to be on tap at the Gaslamp Tavern in Issaquah, the Hop Garden in Renton, and Houndstooth Public House right here in downtown Seattle. And of course, you can find a comprehensive list of locations on the Men's Room page of KISW.com. That is it for headlines. With that, Mike Hawkins out.
Thank you, sir. Steve loves musicals. So tomorrow on Sit and Spin, musicals that were movies and some of the best ones of those.
Yes, I begged that we could do that.
Yeah.
Because of my love of musicals. In the meantime, well, speaking of musicals, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best, and for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.